Greetings to each one gathered here this morning. I'm happy to be here and to worship with you. I've been encouraged, strengthened, and I trust that this part of the message would be but more of that. As I pondered today and what it means, as you look at your calendar, you can see it says Palm Sunday. When I first thought about when we left home and I was thinking about what to share for here for a message, I did not recognize that. And so I'm sorry, I'm not going to bring you a message on Palm Sunday. But there, I'm going to start out with just a little bit and get you thinking a little bit so you can think about it and do a study yourself. But Matthew 21, we have this verse here in verse 9, and we know that account, the children like it very much, how there's this colt, this young colt, and no man has sat on it yet, and the disciples were told to go get it and bring it, and that's what Jesus is going to ride on. There's people who threw their coats on it and their clothes on it so Jesus would have something to sit on as he was writing this. But as I think about verse 9 of Matthew chapter 21, and the multitudes that went before and followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Now this was a procession. If you do the study, there was just Lazarus has just been risen from the dead. He was just brought back to life. And so these people are coming out to see Jesus. They want to see Jesus, who this man is. And so Jesus is the one that is put on this colt and is brought in through. And they're praising him and they're giving him honor and praise. What I want you to think about is this. Most times when Jesus did a miracle, he told the people, don't tell. Or he went and hid himself. He didn't want the fame and he didn't want the honor. But this is one time when he was left. He left the honor go. And it was such the people giving that praise to him, it went to the right person. And that procession must have been great as it went through. But there's one other thing I'd like you to think about. This was 1 week, or less than a week. This verse we read, they were crying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed, worship, honor to Jesus. But less than a week later, same city, the cry was, crucify him. What changed? What changed? Pretty sobering when you think about it. So ponder that as you go through the week. Read that account. And ponder how we can change so much in our service to Christ and how we can be so fickle individuals. But may God help us to be those that are strong for Him. The message for this morning, though, I've chosen to take from 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. It is a message that Paul has wrote to Timothy. It is a message that Timothy is a young leader. It was a solemn charge to him. And you may say, well, this is for the preachers, and it's not for us as laity. No, it is for everyone, I believe. This charge is for each and every one of us. But it is specifically for Timothy at that time and for any leader. But it is for all of us to do this. And I'd like to start reading 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts. Shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears? And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now verse 5 is where I pulled my message title from. Verse part of it here. But watch thou in all things. That's my title for this morning. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. We're going to cease reading there. But watch thou in all things. This word watch has the thought of being in self-control of all things. Keep your head in all situations. Be sober, be alert, watchful. And Paul is giving this solemn charge to Timothy. Verse 1, we see the word therefore. I charge thee therefore. And so we look prior to it to see what it's there for. We've heard that many times. And in chapter 3, if you go look in that, you'll find where it writes about perilous times shall come. Who all feels we're living in the last days? I do. And I'm sure that most of you feel like we can be there, or that we are living in those times. Perilous times are going to come. And so therefore, we need to look at what it is, why we need this, is because there's perilous times coming. Verse 14 of chapter 3 talks about how the word and how vital it is. And he challenges him to dig into Scripture. Verse 17, we find, men of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Just building up to what we come to this chapter for, what it is there for. Verse 2 is part of this charge. Preach the word. In season, out of season, whether it's convenient or isn't convenient, there's times when there's times when maybe this charge falls more on the leadership, but you're preaching a word when you go about your daily life. You're preaching to the world about us, and sometimes it's not as convenient to do it. But we need to be out there sharing with those about us. Verse 3 of our chapter 4 talks about some areas of concern in his preaching. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. And that has a thought of correcting, rebuking, and encouraging. Some people will only be interested in what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. This is what he's referring to when he talks about itching ears. They don't want the truth. They will overlook truth because they don't like its message. They don't like how it steps on their feet, on their toes. And so, be consistent in your teaching, preaching, living it out. Well, let's come to our title. But watch thou in all things. We already said that the word watch here, be in self-control of all things, keep your head in all situations, be alert. I'd like you to think about something. I'm going to give you an illustration. Do you like darkness? I told you to go outside after dark. I know it's nice and light out there now. You don't like to think about this, but maybe especially for children. How do you like going outside in the dark? I mean, I'm talking about dark. Not where that moon's up, a full moon up, and you can see. I'm talking about dark. You can't see. Even for myself, I don't really. I can't see what's around me. And so, yes, I'll go do what I needs to be done out there, but it's not a place I'm going to stay for a long time. Well, let's go on and think about something else as we think about. You think about that watchfulness that happens when you go out after dark. There's often you're a little bit on edge. If somebody would jump out of the darkness, and it probably would jump pretty good, right? Well, you're watching closely for it to try to find it. Find that anything that would do that. Now, let's go on and say that's one aspect of watchfulness. Now, let's say the local zoo, and I don't know what your local zoo is here, but there's been a report that a lion has escaped out of its cage. Furthermore, the rumor has it this lion likes to prey on people. That's why it was in the zoo to start with. They caught it. They put it in the zoo to keep it. So you can go look at it, but you cannot get to people. But it has gotten out of its cage. Report has it that it's found close to where you live at. It's been spotted there. You live on a farm. Back of your farm is a woods. You've been out hunting all day. And here you left your cell phone out there. You left your wallet out there. You put whatever's important to you out there. And it's out there in the woods. You'd like to have it for the night. It's a very dark night. What would you take for you to go get it? I'd want bright lights. Maybe something to get into. I'd like to have a vehicle or something I can at least get inside. Some ammunition, a firearm maybe. Well, I'd like you to think about how watchful you would be as you went out there, though. To me, that aspect of that watchfulness that would happen in a situation like that would be more than just the darkness. But I know my life is at stake, and I know that there's something that is there that would like to get me, and I need to watch for it, because I need to see it first before it gets me. And so you take that and you apply that to this verse, but watch thou in all things. Paul is calling this young ordained leader, Timothy, you watch in every area. You put that watchfulness up there. Stand up, whatever it takes to be there and to watch for it. He's not calling Timothy to be a leader to sit up and police everything that happens in the church. And when everything sidesteps, use your authority and write them a ticket. No, he's not talking about that. But leadership brings responsibility. There's a lot of leaders here this morning. And so when we go to the next part of this title, Watch Thou, leadership is a personal call to each one that leads, whether it's fathers, mothers, older siblings, older youth, school teachers, as well as church leaders. And I put them last for a purpose. Because if it's only going to be the leaders doing the watching, either got a lot of work to do, or things are going to be not observed and watched as they ought to. And so it calls each and every one of us in that thou, watch thou in all things. We all are called to that, to watch our influence, whatever it is. Watch what we are, that we don't trip somebody else up. Is there anything that is overlooked in all things? Think about that for a little bit. I don't believe there is. All things is all things. And so this morning for the message, as I go into this, there's three watches I'd like to think about. And that is the inward watch, the outward watch, and the upward watch. I'd like to look at those three this morning. Watch thou in all things. As we think of the inward watch, 2 Timothy 4, 5, this says, endure afflictions. Right after our title there, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do you like afflictions? Do you like to undergo hardships and to suffer trouble? I don't. But in the inward watch, we need to be ready to do that. To put that, when we watch for the inward watch of ourselves, we need to make sure that we are living lives that are free from sin. Maintain that life. We must remember that we are but a sinner saved by grace. Without Christ, our lives would be nothing. And so this, we think about grace when we think about this. We could turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 as Paul's writing to Timothy in chapter 2 there as well. And verse 1, be strong in the grace. Be strong in it. Well, this grace should, well, as we think about what Christ has done for our lives, this should show up in the way that we look at the others around us. We also can go to, let's just turn to chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. We're in that passage already. But as we come to chapter 2, in verse 4, I also think about, as we think of the inward watch, we have this to watch for. Verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We have that inward watch about what we are doing with the affairs of life, how important they become to us. Whether we become so entangled with them, we become so busy in the things, the pursuits of this life, that it stifles our burden for the lost about us and also for our own spiritual journey. Maybe we get so caught up, we no longer have time to feed ourselves from the Word of God. No, I've been challenged already in my own life. And it's a struggle. How much time does a cell phone take of my life versus reading God's Word? How much time, that screen time? If I take that screen time and apply that much time into God's Word, how much more would I grow? It's a challenge for us. Well, we could go chapter 2, verse 6. We know it's as he's talking to Timothy, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits. It's this inward watch. Make sure we're partaking of it first. Well, we know that Galatians 5, 22 has the fruit of the Spirit. And so that's some fruits we need to watch for in an inward part of ourselves, that we're partakers of it. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. What's coming forth from my life? What's the fruit that's coming forth? As we look inwardly at ourselves, what can people see coming out of our lives? Now, we often think of fruit as something that stands right out. When you look at a tree, you can see the fruit. Well, to a certain extent, you're right, and I'm right when I think that, but there's also leaves on that tree, and then when I've gone to pick some fruit sometimes, the fruit is in underneath the leaves. You've got to go find it. Tree loaded with fruit, there's leaves on it, and so sometimes you got to push those leaves back to reveal the fruit. Can you apply this to brother relationships? So we look inwardly at our own lives, and we look sometimes how that struggle can be getting into our next part of the outward watch. But as we think about it inwardly yet, we can start letting feelings start building between one another. Because you see, they are the ones, and that's an old thing that goes the whole way back to the Garden of Eden, that the blame is, it's always their fault. It's never my fault. And so we start to build relationships. We start to build these feelings. I'd like to challenge you this morning. Maybe sometimes that brother or sister, you put the name there. Maybe one that you say has not showed love to you, is not joyful. There's no peace. I wonder how they can ever sleep at night. Whatever you want to put there. Maybe you need to push the leaves back. And see the fruit for what it is. But most of all, remember, as you push those leaves back, let's reveal what's inwardly in our own hearts. Let's have that inward watch. I think of Matthew 7, verse 3 to 5. We're not going to take the time to read that, but you know that account of the mote and the beam. So easy to look at my brother and say, oh, you have a big, big thing I need to get out of your eye. And I forget that I have a beam in my own eye. It's bigger than yours. May God help us to, in our inward watch, to watch ourselves that we are not ones that are looking at the problems all out there, but we're ready and willing to take a look at our inward self. And so the question comes, as we look at our inward watch, what are we going to do if what we see when we're watching inwardly in our life is not what it should be? What are we going to do? And I don't have the answer for that. You answer it. Am I willing to make the changes necessary to achieve? Is there some dark woods I need to avoid as I look inwardly at my life? Is there some dark woods that I need to avoid? Let's go to the second part, the outward watch. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Yes, we are our brother's keepers. But doing the work of an evangelist is to, the Greek word there is to bring, to declare, to show glad and good tidings. Do you experience that in your life, that you're going out and you're willing to, well, you know, I don't like confrontation. I've always been one to shy away from that. That's my personality. I know there's some that maybe are a little bit more easily enjoy that or that way. But what does it take for me to go talk to somebody about their lost condition? What does it take for me to talk to somebody about Jesus and what he means to me, as Brother Allen talked about this morning? What does Jesus mean to me? And so, when we think about being an outward watch and doing the work of an evangelist, we are probably have heard the statement many times, we are the only Bible some people read. I believe that very much. There's a lot of Bibles. The Word of God is readily available. You probably picked up one of your Bibles at home and left one there, or maybe two there. You know, there's often plenty. We have Bibles you can buy so readily. It was not always, has not always been that way. And so you go out in the world, and it's often they have Bibles, or they know that there's Bibles, but they don't want to read it. And so your life is the only Bible sometimes that some people read. And as I ponder that, the outward watch, we're to do the work of an evangelist, but it is so possible for us. As we go out and we're trying to be a light to the world about us, it is so possible and so easy for us to smear the text that those trying to read our lives can't read about Jesus. Whether that's in business dealings, whether that's maybe even sometimes in our own facial expressions, is there peace showing? Maybe it's our words we say. You name it. There's a lot that pours forth from our lives that people can read into, and it's amazing. We've said, you've probably heard it many times, and it's the true for the same for those out in the world, if I can use that term. Our children, more is caught than taught. In the world, more is caught than taught, and they catch on really quick where our heart really is. Going back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 through 7, we said it's we're living in the last days, and you take that list that's found in there, and that is so much the world. I don't find in this list that he wrote to Timothy, though. As Paul is writing to Timothy, I know he's talking about the last times, but he didn't say, For men, all these sins are going to be out there in the world, but in the church, it's not going to be there. You see, the outward watch means that we need to watch for our brothers and sisters. And this list of sins that is depicted in the last time can fall right in the midst. Hidden sin. May God help us. Because in verse 5, I'd like to pull that out of this as we think about that thought about it's not all out there. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Gets pretty close home. May God help us as we do our outward watch to most remember that it needs to start in the brotherhood and to help one another, but also to reach out there. Jude 22 and 23. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So as I think of the outward watch, how are we working this out? How are we working it out? Is there areas that I have been called to be a servant of Christ that I need to make changes in? What about it, fathers? Is there something that needs to change in my life? Maybe it's a frustration that can come through a daily life that borders on anger. Maybe it's the inconsistencies we have in our own lives, that the testimony that's going to our children and to our families gets a little muddy. The text gets smeared. Is the testimony that is going out from my life, is it confusing or solid and straight? The only way you're going to straighten it out is going here. Watch inwardly, filling ourselves with Christ and His Word. Let's go to the last one, the upward watch. Make full proof of thy ministry. Verse 5, the last part. Full proof of thy ministry. Using up every opportunity. Living every minute of every day as if it were your last. Ready to go. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. We know this account very well. We're going to read it. We're going to take the time to read it. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Excuse me. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And we could go on to read as it goes into the next parable of another way that the kingdom of heaven is likened to, but let's just cease reading there. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The upward watch says we need to watch because we don't know when it's going to happen. This verse is taking from the account of the 5 wise and 5 foolish virgins. The 5 foolish were unprepared. And when the bridegroom came, they missed the entrance to the wedding. Where are we at today? We don't know the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We don't know how when that will be. But the call is there for us to be prepared at any moment. I'd like to think some more of this upward watch of him coming. We don't know the day or the hour is the first one. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5 and 6. Ye are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And so we have in that account there, I believe it's talking about a spiritual sleep. We dare not sleep spiritually because as we look for Christ to come back, it makes the difference of whether we're on the inside or on the outside. Revelation 16:15 says this, Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. His appearance will be unexpected as a thief. And so as we think about the upward watch, may we be ready for that day and hour when he comes back to receive us. Going back to 2 Timothy in my Bible again. I'd like to think about, as we think about this upward watch, think about Paul as he was writing to Timothy. As we think of make full proof of your ministry and be in the upward watch for Christ to come back. Use every opportunity, every minute, every day. Verse 6, And I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. As Paul makes this statement about himself, I want us to think about it as we think about this upward watch. Is Paul saying that he has come out victorious in every account? He has always lived life as it ought to be. Free from failure? I don't believe that's what Paul is talking as he thinks about this statement about himself. He is saying that as he has pressed on and as he's watched himself and he's watched his outward, what's coming forth from his life and how he can reach people. And that was his goal, if you know, as you read the scriptures of Paul, he's fought a good fight. Paul has picked his spiritual battles and he's picked them up and he's fought them and he spent his life in a battle against Satan. And he fought it and he won it. He hadn't won. He wouldn't have been able to speak in such confidence. And so we have that. Paul picking up the fight. And he's fighting and he's giving it his all. Why? Because he's looking up. He's ready to go. Are we ready today? Now I'd like to think a little bit about who we're fighting against. And who Paul fought against. 1 Peter 5:8 says, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. I've made that analogy of that a lion getting loose from a, for an example. That's our enemy. Praying, seeking who he can devour, doing all he can to cause us to fall. And so we have that roaring lion as he roars to make to scare his enemy so he can go pounce on him. But he does that. He's a roaring lion. He wants to see you fall. And so we need to watch our own lives. Where are we at? But that's not the only thing that Satan comes as. 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That's the other side. Sometimes we can see the roaring lion, and we are willing to stand strong in times like that. But what about the angel of light? Because when he can get in as the angel of light, It's the same as when that roaring lion gets us. It trips us up and makes us fall. John 10, we could look, it's the account of the good shepherd. Satan is depicted there as a thief. There to steal your soul. He's there to steal your peace. And he's there to steal you from making it to heaven. One more. Psalm 31. Meant to write this out in my notes and I didn't. Not any more important than the other ones, but the psalmist David is talking. I found this in. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me, for thou art my strength. Satan likes to come with a net and catch people, trip them up, sneak up to them. Bird catcher, fisherman, whatever it is. You know how it is. You like to make it look enticing. We can also read in the psalmist writing that writing here that he's patient. Devil's patient. He's willing to wait to get you if he can. And so it's seriousness when we think about Paul's call to Timothy. Watch thou in all things. This morning, am I watching my life inwardly? Am I watching what's coming forth from my life? Am I watching for my brothers and sisters? Most of all, am I ready and waiting for Christ to come back? If you don't have that in your heart, search your life. Find help. Because we can know that we are saved. And may we live life with that realization that we can say, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I'm ready to go whenever Christ comes for me. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. Lord, we are thankful that your word speaks to us. And as you preserve these words through the generations. Lord, help us to be faithful in digging into them and to glean the truths from them. Lord, we thank you for salvation and the plan you've made for us that we can live lives that are free from sin. Lord, help us to live that out in our daily life. Help us to be on guard against Satan and his attacks. Lord, as we know we are living in the last days, we feel the pressure of that. Lord, help us to be faithful, to be part of the called out, those that are living lives different than the world about us, living lives for you. Help us to be faithful in watching in all things, whether it's our own inner lives, our brothers and sisters. Help us to most of all be preparing and waiting and watching for your soon return. This we ask in your name. Amen.